Blog Talk Radio.
To another edition of One Designer, Two Ideas. I am Pam, your host and the redesigner here. We come your way each Monday at 7:30 through the facilities of blogtalkradio.com. This network is filled with very talented hosts talking about a number of subjects. Page through the programming page to find a show, you know, include not in addition to mine, that may interest you. Well, I hope you guys had a great weekend. Mine was a bit heart-tugging as I attended my nephew's funeral. From the looks of those in attendance, it seems little Ray will be missed by so many friends as well as his family. Loving my brother and my sister-in-law and little Ray's siblings, my nephew Joseph and my niece Dominique. And also, we here at One Designer, Two Ideas would like to extend our condolences to the citizens of Paris. Let's keep them on our thoughts and prayers as they try to recover from the events of this past week. Well, today's show is all about family and furniture arrangement to fit the masses that will be joining us as we host the family Thanksgiving dinner. Seating for a number of us is an issue, especially if you are a small family. When my kids were growing up, it seemed we never had enough seating when it was my turn to host the dinner. But, we may do. Sometimes, and I think this happens at a lot of family gatherings, folks just sit on the floor taking their plates to the coffee table. You know, I just don't like that. I surely remember some of those coffee table conversations we had as kids when we gathered with our family. My grandmother had 8 kids, and 7 of her 8 kids had kids. So you can imagine what it was like at my grandmother's house during Thanksgiving dinner when we got together. It was a good thing that family lived in all 3 apartments in the building as we were able to roam up and down the stairs, and did we roam. But today, we seem to be squeezing more into less space because trends say we can do that. If you are a hostess with the mostest this Thanksgiving, you may be wondering, how is this all going to work? I know, you just sit there and wonder. There are no hard and fast rules when it comes to arranging furniture for guests or even your family. But I think there are some things that we should consider when arranging furniture, especially when we are the hostess with the mostest and we're inviting the family to our home. So let's start at the dinner table. I talked about this with some friends, and they kind of thought, they weren't sure that this was the answer, but I'm going to share it with you, and I'm going to let you decide what you think is best. This is some ideas that I came up with when I was doing research for this show. I kind of took into consideration the time that it would take, but let's talk about it, and you make the decisions. I know we talked about sending menu cards. Remember the show that we talked about sending menu cards so we could be knowledgeable of people that are coming with their dietary needs, or if they don't eat pork or if they're vegetarians. It's been a while since since you've seen family, and you may not know of these changes. So sending out the menu cards, and I mentioned this in, I think, 2 shows before, that it might be a good idea for not only the guests coming, but you as the hostess. So if you are sending out the menu cards, I was thinking this. If you have limited space, consider 2 dinner times and include that time on the menu cards. If you have already sent them out, because I know that, it's, 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving, and you probably, when I suggested it, if you liked that idea, you probably got on that really quick. If you've already sent them out, don't worry about it. Try to create a second dinner shift in a creative way once the guests arrive. Well, why two shifts? Well, you make sure all seated, you know, all are seated, have enough room to cut their meat. My mom used to dwell on that because she figures, she said you had to have room to cut your meat. Can you imagine just sitting there kind of with your elbows tucked to your waist and you're trying to cut your meat? Well, that was kind of like the way my mom always let us know that, you know, elbow room is good. The one thing that she had issues with tables that were just simply too crowded. If you don't have the space for all to eat at the table, this may be the solution to have two dinner shifts. Try this. Offer to let the preteens eat together. I bet you they'd like that. Or have the older members of the family eat together. That's a thought. While together, you know, while we were with my family this weekend at my nephew's funeral, I noticed grouping. My 28-year-old son sat with his cousins in the same age bracket, while I sat with my cousins at the 60-plus table. You know, it is a thought. It could work. Once the first shifters are done eating, encourage them to visit and talk in another room. This kind of frees the space for those that are waiting to eat. Now that dinner is about over and everyone wants to talk, they will retire to the family room or the living room. You want the room or rooms to be inviting and offer a comfortable atmosphere. The rooms should be well lit. There should be enough seating to accommodate those in attendance. Spacing is key to a good conversation area. Heather Paper, she's the author of the Decorating Ideas book, seconds that. When she writes that it's hard to have a conversation when you are sitting too close to others. If your couch usually sits four, direct the situation by placing three pillows on the couch. Angle upholstered chairs toward the couch on the other side of the coffee table. Now, I know if anybody's been following my shows, you know how I feel about coffee tables. And the reason that I feel that about coffee tables is because I have 5 children and 8 grandchildren. And it's been my experience that my grandchildren kind of see the coffee table as another play area. And, yes, I have tried to direct them away from that because if my mother was still here, they wouldn't even be playing in the living room. But things were different for my family because I had 5 kids and my mom only had me. I had my sisters and brothers. My father remarried, and thus the 3 younger ones were born, and that they're my sisters and brothers. But my mom didn't have the idea of what it's like to have 5 children in one house. So I do believe, and I've said this before to my own children, if my mom was still here, there would be none of that playing in the living room. She had this thing about living rooms, but coffee tables, I kind of steer away from them. I don't. Whenever I redesign a room, if a coffee table is in the plan, then it is. I usually kind of lean toward the ottoman kind of coffee table that's kind of soft. So if someone bumps into it or a kid falls, they really won't bump their heads. And if they do bump their heads, it'll be on something kind of soft, you know. But I, you know, coffee tables are part of, you know, they've just been part of the living room forever. I just kind of steer away from them. But I do understand that it is part of the makeup of living rooms, and you find some in family rooms too. So if as long as the upholstered chairs are facing toward the couch on the other side of the coffee table, that works. And that gives kind of a distance, but not so far away that guests can actually see each other. They can see each other's faces. They can see the facial expressions. As long as the light is good, they can hear. And, you know, like, you know, older people, and I have to admit that I am one of them. What did you say? So I think that in this kind of situation and angle and arrangement where the couch is, you know, one way and then the cocktail table, and the two any upholstered chairs are facing toward it, it will create a conversation room once the family members get up from the from the dinner table and proceed into the living room with their coffee and their Pepsis, and they continue their conversation about back in the day, because we did talk about that on Saturday. No one should have to strain to see someone across the coffee table from them. You can always add a bench or two in a room. If you have folding chairs or you know someone that has them, that can be additional seating in the family and or living room. But I want to say something here, and please note this, that if you look back at the room after you've made these arrangements, you've got the three pillows on the couch, you've got the soft chairs, upholstered chairs facing the couch, you've added some benches, and there may be some card table chairs in the room. And if you stand there and you look back, and you look back at the room after you've arranged the furniture and it looks congested, you might want to, change the room. And you have to have clear walking paths, and I want to make sure I include that in the room. You need them going to and from each room, and also in the room. You want to feel free to take some of the pieces out. If it's not a clear traffic flow area, you might want to rearrange the furniture. If possible, direct traffic with the furniture remaining in the room. Direct them, but create this path around the conversation area so there will be uninterrupted conversing. No one wants to be interrupted in the middle of a thought. And in my case, I will have forgotten what we were talking about. So, yeah, that path should be at least 3 feet wide. If that width is not possible, create a path as wide as you can make it. But it is imperative that traffic flow moves well. I know that I'm sure that you have been in rooms where people have had to eat to get by. People have to scooch the chair and back up the chair, or you have to move your legs. And I just kind of think, if it is at all possible to create this area, that the traffic can flow freely and it's not where people have to move their feet or get up and let you by. That's just, to me, that just makes more sense, and the flow and the arrangement and the atmosphere of the room will be better for everyone in the room and even the ones that are coming to the room. No one should have to step over chairs and people to get out of the room or walk through the room. Something else I want to add to this is about area rugs. Let's say, I was sitting next to my Aunt Ernestine on Saturday. And if she was on a walker or a cane, or my brand new nephew, he is 1 year old and he is just barely walking, an area rug could present a problem for both, especially if it bunches. As long as it is secure where it lays, leaving it is good. You can leave it if you want, but removing it for Thanksgiving may be something to think about, especially if there are some family members that need assistance with their walking. Make sure you have plenty of coasters. This was one of my mom's pet peeves. Coasters. Make sure you have plenty of coasters for your end table and coffee tables. They should remind guests to use them. Festive coasters are really way cool, and if the kids make them, it's all the better. They can be colorful drawings, or they could be food trivia. That will add to the after-dinner conversation. Well, here's an example. Where did the sandwich come from? I know. It is a great story that I will tell you guys during Thursday's Decor Short and Preview Show. My kids, and it's funny because whenever I write, I'm getting ready for the show, I kind of bounce some ideas off of my children. As I said, I have 5 children. They range from age 40 to 23, and I will bounce things off of them, and they wonder, where did you find that? So, yes, my kids wonder, where do I come up with this stuff? But you will be surprised to know that Martha Stewart's cooking school that's on Create TV, She was talking about the history of sandwiches and where they come and why they exist. And I thought that was so interesting, and I was wondering, boy, that would be great to talk about, you know, with family. Give them something to talk, you know, spice up the conversation, make it interesting and learn something. You know, it's nothing wrong with talking about those days when we were running down the block playing double dutch. Nothing wrong with that. But this is a way to engage everyone in the conversation. Not only will the 60 pluses be intrigued, but I'm sure some young people may be, even though my kids don't seem to think so. I think it's a good idea. And while everyone is sitting down, make sure you do as well. The hostess has to rest. When my mom hosted, she joined the guests after her hostess duties were done. And we kids, the cousins included, we cleared the table. No one ever washed the dishes because no one dare touch the good china that my mom used on holidays to serve everybody that lived in the china cabinet. You know, I guess every other holiday, it never really came out unless it was a holiday. You know, I guess we didn't count for the good china anyway. But you didn't touch it. You cleared the table, but she did the washing. So that was for mom to do, and we let her do it because it was better for if she chipped it, fine. But you did not want to live in that house if you chipped it. So, but you know, she was a great host. She was a good example of how to enjoy family in your house, whether you have room or whether you didn't have room. We had apartments, and I think we had two houses when we were growing up. Everyone was always welcome. Everyone was always warm. Everyone, she made everyone feel like they were special to be there and with the family to enjoy her turkey and dressing, that she made the dressings from scratch. No, I don't do that. But my mom did, from hot water cornbread. Yes, she did. But she was great, and she was a good example of how you can, you know, have family functions. But back to what we're doing now, if you are the hostess with the mostest, it's imperative to make everyone feel like, as my mom did, that everyone is welcome. From furniture arrangement to the way the table is set to the conversation, everything contributes to the family feeling welcome when they're under your roof. And these are the things, I believe, that will be talked about years to, you know, down the road when they talk about when they came to Pam's house for Thanksgiving, or when they came to Darlene's house, or when they came to Bert's house. These are things that people remember. I know that my family really does remember when my mom was hosting Thanksgiving. Her family gatherings made an indelible impression. It was always enough food. It was always enough room. It was always enough drinks. It was always enough everything. And I'm really glad that I had that example. And now that I am an interior redesigner, I like to when I came up with the ideas for the Thanksgiving shows, my mom was she was a great source to, you know, to think about how she did it and how things flowed. Now, the menu cards, when I suggested that was because I have a son. My son Raymond is allergic to anything with peanuts in it. So we kind of always, whenever we go to family and they're hosting dinner, I always make sure, and now that he's 29 years old, he can do it himself. But when he was growing up, I would always make sure that nothing was prepared with peanuts. And it is, since so many people have allergies to food and so many people are, you know, have sodium issues and high blood pressure and things in their diets that they need, you know, that they need to watch, it helps the hostess out. And there's no sense in having someone, you know, get there and find out that you're having ham if they don't eat pork. So that is one of the reasons that I suggested the menu cards. This will, you know, increase people's comfort level while they're with you. You know, so I've given you a number of suggestions how to make this Thanksgiving, if you're the hostess with the mostest, how to make it successful. And I wish all of you well, because it can be a stressful time. I do know that. Mom started in October when it was her year to host the family for Thanksgiving. So I know that, you know, it takes time to prepare, and it's not just putting the turkey in the oven and calling everybody over and saying, "Hey, come on over, we're having Thanksgiving dinner." It's preparation, it's thinking, and it's, you know, contemplating and also being concerned about other people. And these tips that I give you tonight hopefully will help you, and make, while it makes the guests comfortable, it will make you less stressed. Comfortable, you know, arrange furniture that can make the family dinner or large dinner party festive and fun. That's the bottom line, that everyone is enjoying themselves. Your turn at the stove will be remembered, but in a good way. So really, I hope that this show was helpful and informative. I will post some of these facts that I talked about tonight, some suggestions. I will post them at the One Designer Two Ideas Facebook page. If you have any questions or comments, you know, about this show or any of the One Designer Two Ideas shows, you can always leave any comments at the One Designer Facebook page. I'm always excited to hear how you guys feel about it. So I'm going to take a break, because I kind of wanted you guys to maybe call in and give me some suggestions about how you plan to do your Thanksgiving family dinner. So the number here in the studio is 1-347-326-9930. That is 1-347-326-9930. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we have a few other things to talk about. Thank you for coming back with me. We will continue on with our, you know, with our show. I have some other things that I want to tell you. Just want to make sure that if you have any questions about the things that I suggested tonight, that you give me a call. Let's talk about it, and let's see how we can get on the same accord, as my mom used to say. But I want to make sure that I tell you, Thursday Thanksgiving, we won't have a show. I'm hosting the Thanksgiving dinner this year for my family, for my five children and my daughter-in-law, and my eight grandchildren. With my eighth grandchild will be born on the 30th of November. So I'm pretty excited about that. But I wanted to tell you guys something. As I didn't realize that there were some issues with my family with what we have had for Thanksgiving dinner most of their lives. My 24-year-old, who was a teacher, I don't know how she brought this to me, but she let me know that she doesn't like turkey. I said, okay. How long have you not liked turkey? She said, she's never liked it. I said, oh, okay. So I said, let me just take note of that. So I did. And talking to my oldest daughter, who is 40, she says, yeah, and since we're talking, Mom, I don't like dressing. Okay. And I begin to think, where have I been all this time? Because all their lives we've had turkey and dressing and canned sweets and macaroni and cheese and greens. I mean, and cabbage. That's kind of one of the standard things. I mean, it rarely changes. That's basically what we have. But this year, I decided to try something different. And I think watching Create TV and all the cooks that are on that channel, I've discovered some new recipes. So we are having milk can supper. Yes, milk can supper. It's different. It involves a lot of different vegetables. It is going to be fantastic. And the kids have said to me, my son said, "Mom, what's milk can supper?" And I tried to explain that to him, and I'm thinking, he's looking at me, and he's like, oh. So they will just have to see when they get to the house on Thanksgiving Day, but it is going to be something different. It's going to be something good. It's all cooked in one pot. It starts off the recipe on Create TV in the Country Kitchen program. Started off with sausage. We are not going to have sausage. We're going to have ham. But it's sausage, it is potatoes, it is carrots, it is onions, and it's corn on the cob. And all of this is cooked in one pot, one pan. So when we talk about this again on Thursday, I will tell you more about the milk can supper, but that is our plan for this Thanksgiving. The Crosses are having milk can supper. Okay, it's going to be good. I know. It's going to be different. The kids are going to be surprised. Well, I hope they're surprised. Anyway, as I said before, feel free to leave any questions or comments at the Facebook page. We will be back on Thursday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time for the One Designer, Two Ideas Decor Short and Preview Show. And I will answer the trivia question, and we will also talk more about the milk can supper that I am having this Thanksgiving for my family. And then we will be right back here next Monday at 7:30 p.m. But before we go, friends, I still have something I want to tell you. You know how I am about worthwhile projects, and I have got something I want to share with you. I want to tell you about a worthwhile project. Many of you may know, all of my friends know, from different posts on my personal Facebook page, that I am a Fanilow. I love Barry Manilow and his music. He is one talent, and he continues to share his art with the world. But tonight I want to tell you about another way he is sharing, through a project he founded that benefits kids and music in public schools. At the website for the Manilow Music Project, it states that the project was formed in response to the needs of the local public schools and their severely depleted music programs. Barry Manilow gathered some of his friends and formed the Manilow Music Project as part of his nonprofit Manilow Health and Hope Fund. The mission statement of the Manilow Music Project highlights the importance of music programs in our schools and donates instruments and materials to school music programs. Well, to benefit this great project, a group that I am a member of was formed to donate through bidding on signed art of Barry Manilow. Ann Taplin, she is the co-administrator for the Manilow Music Project Donations Draw, says, and she sent me a press release, and this is what she says. She says, "I think that every Barry Manilow fan has heard of the charity that he founded called the Manilow Music Project. But not many have heard of MMP Donations Draw. We are a small group who are raising money for the Manilow Music Project. In our first season, we raised $1,300. She says that we have already passed that amount this season. We run on Facebook under the group name of MMP Donations Draw, and we have signed artwork of Barry Manilow. Our current team consists of Rachel Davison, Ann Taplin, and our artist was Jacqueline Lubin. I know she's a great artist. I have seen so many of her beautiful pieces. She says, "We are currently in the process of sourcing art from other talented artists. So if you wish to donate, please contact one of the team members. All details on how to win one of the signed pieces of art is on our Facebook page." She says, "Come on over and have a look." And the paintings of Barry are beautiful. Jacqueline is a very talented artist. Here is a way to have beautiful art of Barry Manilow while helping kids in our schools continue to play their music. To learn more about how you can become a part of the MMP donations draw, you can visit Anna Rachel at their Facebook at the Facebook page. You can go to Facebook and then search for MMP donations draw. Remember, friends, Anne did say that they were sourcing out art from other talented artists. If this is you, this is an opportunity to showcase your talent. Talk to Anne at the MMP donations draw. To read more about the Manilow Music Project, you can visit their website at www.manilowmusicproject.org. It all runs together, www.manilowmusicproject.org. And I will post these web addresses at the One Designer Two Ideas Facebook page. This is a great project. I have a friend who is a music teacher, and she was actually the one that we started talking about this because we were talking music, and I've always been a fan of Barry Manilow's. I guess I really didn't know a lot about it, and then I began to learn, and then I joined the page, and yeah, so it's a worthwhile project. I mean, he's a great artist. I'm sure he is very appreciated for the work that he's doing within the community. And these kids, they are so talented. I just love going to music programs at the schools. So please visit the web. I will have all of this information at the One Designer, Two Ideas Facebook page, and that is www.facebook.com/OneDesignerTwoIdeas. That's all spelled out. That is www.facebook.com/OneDesignerTwoIdeas. I hope this, as I said earlier, I hope the show was informative for you. I hope that some of the suggestions is something that you might want to think about implementing. You can always leave me a comment and we can discuss this, you know, at the Facebook page. And I will be right back here on Thursday, where we will continue our conversation about the music trivia and about, you know, where did sandwiches come from. I think you may want to know that. And it's going to be fun. So please come back and join me on Thursday at 10 p.m. That is Central Standard Time. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. This has been Pam of One Designer, Two Ideas. See you Thursday and have a great evening.